Okay. We're on the air. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the times that we're in. And I thank you that you're our God with all of your grace and your mercy upon us, Lord. We thank you for your power, Lord, that just oversees everything that we do. We love you, Lord, and we want more of you, Lord. And we just surrender all to you, Lord, and ask that you just bring us into that realm of where we're just listening to nothing but you, Lord. That we're walking, talking Jesus's. That's what you brought us here for. That's why you came here, and that's why you left, so that you would have a bunch of brothers and sisters just like you on this earth, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for all the work that you're accomplishing in each and every one of us that surrender everything to you, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in each and every one of us. Lord, I thank you for an open heaven that you've given us in this fellowship right here. And I thank you, Lord, that every time that we pray and we believe, Lord, they are answered because we trust you to perform those miracles and those things that we prayed for, Lord. And I thank you for them, Father. Even the circumstances that seem beyond any kind of help at all, Lord, you bring us out of them, and I praise you for it, Father. You're an awesome God. You're a supernatural miracle-working God through us, Lord, to those who believe. And I praise you, Father, that tonight's not going to be any exception, that we're going to pray and we're going to believe the things that you bring to our mind to pray about, and they're going to be answered. And I thank you, Father, for all that is answered. And I thank you for all the testimony we're going to hear tonight. In the name of Jesus, Father, exciting time that you're bringing us into, Lord. Get us ready for this time ahead, Lord. Shake us up if we need shaking, Lord. Soothe us down if we need a little soothing. And I praise you, Father, for all that you're accomplishing in each and every one of your bride members right here. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Glory to God, yeah. All right, has anybody got a prayer request? I got an announcement first. I-40 bridge in Memphis, Tennessee, shut down about 2 hours ago. I don't know if y'all know that I-40 is a major, major thoroughfare for traffic from the West Coast to the East Coast and from the East Coast back to the West Coast. It was shut down because of a crack that they found in the bridge itself, indefinite as to when it's going to open back up. And that's what I use to get into Arkansas and other people. People in West Memphis, Arkansas, which is in the Arkansas side, in Memphis, Tennessee, they all commute over, most of them commute over to Memphis to work. And they've shut that traffic down. And the next bridge is down at Helena, which is probably, I don't know, probably 100 miles or so, maybe a little more, south of them. And then the next one is up at northeast Arkansas at Blyville, I believe, on Highway 55. I believe that's where it is. That's another 100 miles up north, possibly. Maybe not quite 100. So as you can see, it's going to be a major, major block in traffic growing each way. So, and I don't know what's going on, but Lord does. Lord knows what's going on. And if you know anything about the fault line there at New Madrid, it always shifts to the west. It parks like this. And I don't know if that's what's happening, but I'm sure of it. You know, I'm sure because they've had a bunch of earthquakes up through there, up in North Arkansas, Northeast Arkansas, and Southeast Missouri for the last year or so. They've ramped up quite a bit. So I don't know if that's what it is or what, or even if it's a ruse, you know, to keep people at home so that some other things can happen that y'all probably know about. Go ahead, Julie.
So being out here where I live, there's a lot of bridges out this way too and stuff. And generally when they find cracks in bridges and stuff and they do their maintenance on it, they do, you know, everyone kind of gears up and starts looking at all the bridges. And I was just wondering if that's something that they'll probably be doing there as well. Because if there's cracks, whether it's, you know, being out here on the West Coast, the earth's always moving. So there's always, you know, that kind of structure issue. And I was going to say or ask you something else. Do they know, was it a structural damage thing caused by something like in the building, or was there, do they know the cause yet? Have they even speculated what the cause was?
They haven't said, as best I can tell. They haven't even said. Only, I'm sure of some kind of structural damage, whether it was by earth shaking or what. I don't know. I'll tell you what, I've been using that bridge all my life. The bridge is...
it's that old. Wow, okay.
Easy. I still have power to mute and kick off.
Still teasing. I'm only teasing. I'm sorry. I know they have to do regular maintenance on bridges.
Well, actually, that's the bridge, Julie, that goes across... And from Arkansas to Memphis, and at Memphis, on the Memphis side, the big pyramid is right there on the left. That's where the big pyramid is. It's now called, it used to be a convention center for Memphis, and then Bass Pro Shops bought it. And it's a big pyramid over there. And if you remember, we've had some prophecies of Memphis just falling off into the abyss.
I was thinking about that too.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going on, whether it's something the Lord's fixing to do. And I believe that all of these things that are happening now is to clean out the church, the pandemic, the vaccines, and all of that stuff. And the Lord is going to use, it looks like, to clean out the church. And I believe that. Because you know that all of the apostate churches are recommending that their parishioners take the vaccine before you come back in this church, you know. And all that stuff. Well, it's going to get a bunch of them. Go ahead, Angelica.
Yeah, I wanted to pray for Chuck and Winnie's family who will be driving back to North Carolina for them to be able to have enough gas to get there and the Lord to bless them. But yeah, it's, and just really in general for all the people, because this thing is going to, it's going to have a, domino effect on a lot of industry, a lot of, obviously the supply lines, the food, different, all kinds of, issues all across the board here. So I think we're going to be seeing a lot of things, we don't expect, and we don't know how long it's going to happen with how long it's going to go on, So I just wanted to pray for them really quickly. So Father, and forgive me because I don't remember their names, but just met them today. So Father, in Jesus' name, I just loose the angels to surround and protect them, Father God, on their drive back, Father God. Lord God, we ask that you supernaturally keep them and fill their tanks, Father God, supernaturally, Lord God, and give them good gas mileage, Lord God, and let them be there quickly, Lord God. And we just thank you for them, Father God. And if they don't know you, we ask that you bless them to come into the kingdom, Father God. And we just thank you for that. And Lord, you have a lot of your children, Father, across the way, Lord God, that may be affected by this, this gas shortage, Lord God, perhaps their jobs, perhaps their ability to go and get food, provision, whatever, Lord God. We just thank you, Father God, for your grace and your peace to be upon your people and to move them in the way that they need to be moved. And I just thank you so much, Father God, for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for getting them all back home safely. Amen. All right. Yeah, Pat.
So Michael is... Route 55 there, which is just south of that. It goes across the river as well, too, right?
It goes across up at, I believe it's Blytheville, Arkansas, up in the northeast part of Arkansas. And
it looks like on the map that 40 splits off. 40 splits off to with 55.
55 goes north and south, and 40 goes east and west.
Oh.
Yeah. 55 okay. goes north up to St. Louis and down south to, I think, Baton Rouge. I'm not sure, but I think.
Maybe I'm there. Maybe this is wrong. Well, I'm looking on a map.
Pat, on Google Map, it looks like 55 is not far south of goes across the river from 40.
Yeah, right? What I'm seeing as well.
That's at Helena. That's at Helena, if I'm not mistaken. That's Lulu, Mississippi, I think. I don't know.
Oh, it's also Route 70. It's 50 and State Route 70, and looks like Interstate 55.
Yeah, it could be. 55 goes across at Blyville, I know, and up in northeast.
Oh, I see what it is. South of Memphis, 55 is going north and south. Before it gets to Memphis, it turns left or west and goes across the river.
Is that a Helena?
Well, it doesn't look like it.
What does it look like?
I don't see Helena anywhere here.
What do you see, Pat? I guess is what I'm asking. What town?
Well, it's Memphis, and it's West Memphis on the. I guess
that's 40.
I know, but right under. If you look at a map, pull up Google Map or map on your computer there. But anyway, that's okay. I was just.
It could be. I just remember it going across it at Helena, which is probably 100 miles south, or maybe. And then up at Blyville, which is probably another close to 100, not quite 100. And then down at Lake City, which is down in southeast Arkansas, goes across into Mississippi. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, I could be. It's been a while. But anyway, Lord, we just thank you that all that traffic is going to be redistributed to get across and do whatever it is that they got to do, Lord. And I know it's going to cause some traffic problems, but Father, give us all patience and knowing that we should have stocked up. We will stock up and believe you, Lord, if we have to. We know that. And we don't worry about it because we know that you're going to keep us in food, water, and gas if we need it. And Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. This is a great time to believe you for all of it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Anybody else? Is that that's Highway 49 that connects to 55, isn't it? When it hits Arkansas? I'm just asking. My memory's thinking that that's what it runs into. 49 goes across at 55. Anyway, that's okay. All right, anybody else got a prayer?
So that was highway, you said 40?
I think it's 49 that crosses there at Lulu, Mississippi.
No, what was the bridge that was cut off?
Oh, that's highway 40.
What were Ray and June going to come across?
Well, they're not coming from Memphis. They're coming from North Carolina, which is east of us.
Right. They still got to go east and west.
Well, I know, but we're in East Tennessee. They're in West North Carolina. Memphis is way west of us. Uh-huh. So that's not a problem there.
All right.
We come through Knoxville.
Yeah.
We'll be
they go through Knoxville.
Right.
Yeah. Now, let's see. Who else? Anybody else got a prayer request? because I've been talking to Jesus. Yeah, I've been talking to Jesus. Yeah, Julie.
I'd like you all to agree with me in prayer for my sister Carrie. Marilyn and I prayed yesterday for a little bit about it. But it was yesterday. But I sent my sister a text today to see how she was doing, just kind of find the status. She is working. You know, she works part time for a company, and this whole vaccine thing is, you know, they're trying to get people to sign paperwork to confirm one way or the other if they've taken the vaccine or if they've been tested and that kind of thing. And she does not want to take the vaccine, and we prayed about that. But I think, you know, there was a whole fear thing and losing her job. And anyhow, she and I prayed about all that, and Marilyn and I prayed about that. But then today she was questioned by somebody that she works with if she had the vaccine, and my sister did not answer her. She's like, it's none of her business, number one. But, you know, it's just this whole, you know, intimidation and people, you know, it's fear mongering and people, you know, coming against those who have taken the vaccine, or rather haven't taken the vaccine, and putting on them that they're going to be a cause of more people getting sick and that kind of thing. So I'd like prayer for that. And I know my sister is not the only one. I think anybody in the workforce who's not going to take the vaccine, and the persecution and the pressure and the tension and the fear mongering and all the manipulation and all that stuff that's going on. Because of it, I would like to lift people up about that. So Father, I thank you for Carrie. I thank you, Lord, for her heart and the faith that she has and her desire not to take the vaccine. And I thank you, Lord, for your protection upon her and giving her grace and wisdom and discernment on how to speak and to speak clearly her convictions, and that she would have words, Father, to answer anybody when she needs to and know when to speak and when not to. And I thank you, Lord, that she is an overcomer of all these things, and you're going to show your power. You're going to show your grace. You're going to show your sovereignty over her life. And then even if she does have to walk away from this job because she refuses to do this, Lord, that you have something else for her. And I pray this for my sister, and I pray this for each and every person, Lord, who's out there going through the same battle, who's going through the same persecutions of what people are trying to manipulate them or intimidate them in not why they're not taking it. We cast down all of these evil forces of darkness, the witchcraft that's working and in operation here, and the fear mongering, the control, the manipulation, the lies and the deception about it all. Lord, and we pray your hedge protection around them all and your grace, and that they're going to be abundantly favored for doing what's in their heart to do the right thing. And we thank you, Lord, for your plan in all of this and how you're going to work in people's lives. We thank you, God, for boldness and courage and strength and the outcome, Lord, because we know there's an end to all of this. And we praise you in Jesus' name. We thank you in everything and give you praise. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Okay. I was just looking at there's only three bridges crossing the Mississippi River in Arkansas, and that's at Helena, Memphis, and Greenville, which is down southeast Arkansas. So up in northwest Arkansas, it goes up into Missouri before it comes back down to Arkansas. I mean, it's up there in the Boot Hill, 55. Go ahead, Missy.
I saw that they're pushing for 12 to 15-year-olds now to be getting this so-called vaccine, and that by the end of the year or before that, they're they're wanting 6 month olds and older to get it. As young as 6 month old babies. And I'm just like, Lord, you know, there's been so much atrocities done to babies and even children in general. And I just want to pray about that. Lord, I just ask you, Lord, there have been so many people already that's gotten this vaccine. Lord, and I know you're going to protect your people, but, you know, ones that we're praying for and believing that you're going to protect them in their ignorance. But these little children, Lord, I ask you for mercy that they not be able to go that far, Lord. I mean, even 12 and 15 year olds, Lord, they're at the mercy of the parents. The parents are, you know, it's not a choice that a kid should be making, and parents choosing their children, Lord, to take this, to tell them they need to take it, and it out of basically, it's just fear, Lord. I just ask you to bring this to an end, to bring the truth out. There are going to be so many people already that are going to die from this, Lord, and be maimed and everything. And I know we can pray for people, but Lord, the children. I just ask you for your mercy, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. There is a cure, by the way. Natural, I'm talking about, for that we found out, David found out, it's pine needle tea that will, I forget how all that stuff works, but it counteracts all of the things that they're putting in the vaccine. And it's also a great source for vitamin C. Just to put that out there, if you for those people that we know that don't believe God, you can tell them, well, look, if you're not going to trust God, you can go out there and get you a handful of pine needles, cut them up and put them in some boiling water and drink the tea. According to what David told me, said that stuff is supposed to counteract all of the negative effects. So will Psalms 91. So will Mark 11:24. So will John 14:14. And on and on and on. All right. I just thought I'd put that out there. That's the easy way. You don't have to drink that nasty tea. Go ahead, Pat.
So I would like to pray for a response of wisdom. We're all going to be attacked or hit with this deception. And if you think about it, they're trying to make people that don't get the vaccine look like they're somehow lepers or diseased or carriers, when in fact, logic tells you if you went ahead and had the vaccine, you don't have to worry about any of that. You don't have to worry about somebody who is a potential carrier. But this deception has permeated society where it has flipped. And people have lost their ability to think for themselves.
Yeah.
So God can use this in a reverse on people, and get them to start thinking for themselves. So Father, that's my prayer tonight, Lord, that would you give us wisdom to attack this attack upon us and upon society and upon the innocents and upon those that for some reason, whether they've lost the ability to think logically or they are deceived or they're just taking the pablum that is being dished out and walking in it. I'm kind of stymied as to even how to pray, but Lord, you have given us the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. And I'm asking that you would give each and every one of us here wisdom in order to respond to this idiocracy, this stupidity that people are willingly walking in, and turn it back upon themselves and force them to think. Force them to think. And Lord, we just ask you to give us not only wisdom, but scripture that we can give them to jar them out of their stupor. And we thank you for that, Lord. We certainly don't set it aside that you are using this whole thing to weed out your church. I'm certain that you're doing that, but Lord, you've also provided us with the ammunition to take this deception down and save and retrieve those out of the hands of Satan who used to use this darkness to kill people. We just pray for the innocent, Lord. We pray for the those that are stuck in this situation. We ask you to give them grace to just to think through the process themselves and just to reach out and grab truth and stand in it. Lord, we know that you've given us your Holy Spirit. You've given us you. And you've given us your word to walk in. And so we thank you for that. We just trust that you're able to provide in each and every step, Lord, and we thank you for it. I'd also like to pray for Barry, this security guard at my work. I asked him how he was doing today, and he is still struggling with this colitis. And he's thinking that God wants him in this disease or under this to for a purpose, but he's not locking on to the truth that maybe that purpose is that God wants to show him that healing is available in his word. And I'm, for whatever reason, he's not on that wavelength. I'd like to pray for him, but also I would like the Lord to give him a scripture. I don't even know if he, reads the scripture in the morning or what. I don't know. So if the Lord would give him a scripture or me a scripture, something that he could lock onto, and that God would start to jar his mind into thinking that the promises of God are real. So Father, I just thank you for meeting Barry. Thank you for being able to interact with him and talk with him, Lord. And I still do trust, Lord, that you are you have control of this colitis, that you are able to stop it, heal it in a split second. But it hasn't happened at this point. The consequences or the condition situation is still there. So I'm asking you, Lord, to give Barry wisdom in your word, give him truth that he can harmonize with your word and align himself up with your word and start to think positive instead of a woe is me type of situation. And I certainly don't say that in judgment, because sometimes when you're in constant pain, it's a little bit hard to think of anything other than that pain. So I'm just asking for grace for Barry, Lord, and just grant him wisdom in your word to see your word in a new light, in a new light. So thank you, Lord, for your light. Just let there be light permeating his soul, his spirit, and open up his eyes to the gospel. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I would ask him where he got his scriptures from that that God would want him, it would be God's will for him to be sick, because nowhere in scripture does it say that. In fact, if you remember, there is a verse, and I was looking for it now, and I can't find it right quick. I think it's in Matthew, but remember the guy that, I forget even what kind of healing it was, he said, if it be thy will, Lord. And Lord said, yeah, I will. And he never turned anybody down for healing. I might tell him that, say, look, all you got to do is Mark 11:24. You know, pray and believe what you pray and you shall have it. You know, I've run across them too, like that, Pat. And it's sometimes it's hard to break through all of that religion, so to speak. But it's showing the word, I guess, if he's willing to do that, you know. If not, we'll just pray for him. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Jim.
Is it on?
Okay. Yeah, you're on.
Thank you. I'm thinking in terms of Barry. I don't know if he has children or not, but first thought was how we desire for our children to be healthy, and that Barry is a child of the living God who desires for him to be healthy. As the scripture says, that we are to have the abundant life, and that that we prosper in health as our soul prospereth. So I would add on to your perfect prayer, actually. Paul, is it? Pat? I don't know why. Anyway, I just wanted to add on those scriptures that Barry would take hold of, realizing that the Lord wants the best for his children. And that means health, mind, body, and soul. And that he shouldn't disregard the truth of the fact that the Lord created him and desires for him to have, as I mentioned before, the abundant life that comes with our bonding in our Lord Jesus Christ, that he who lives within us is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. Sealed in the blood of Yeshua, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I could go off on this one here, because why did Jesus come here in the first place? Why did he come here in the first place? He came here so that we could be like him. So that we could enjoy the same benefits that he did. You remember when Missy and I talked about this earlier yesterday. You remember when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he just shone like a neon sign, You know why he shone like a neon sign? Because he was full of God. He was full and mature of God. And the light of God, we're talking about the light tonight, the light of God was shining out of him because he was mature in God. That is the reason Jesus died and went to heaven, is to make us like him, just like him. And we ought to be shining like a neon sign too, as we mature in Christ. And we will, and we do it all by faith. That's all it is. It's nothing that we can do other than study and read and understand what the Word of God says. And I'm preaching to the choir here, but that's okay. We are exactly. Jesus said this. He said, the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do. Greater things you're going to do. Glory to God. Well, if he's shone like a new dime, I'm going to shine like a neon sign. Glory to God. Because I want to get close to Jesus, so close to Jesus that I can just reach over and grab him, you know. And that's the way we all are. We all want to be right there with Jesus. But it's a process that God puts us through. He puts us through these trials to get rid of the stuff in us so that we can shine like Jesus, glory to God. And we will. We will. Okay, I'm off the soapbox.
Sometimes it's hard to figure out where to start, because I know what you're talking about, Michael, is kind of like after you've gone into the wilderness and you know that this wilderness experience is to smoke out the flesh in us so that we can cooperate with God and do exactly that, come into his image. But I wonder if, you know, I wonder if Barry has actually made it across out of Egypt yet, you know. So it sometimes it's hard to figure out where they're at.
Okay, this is why Jesus, why God is bringing on these tribulations, is to shake that garbage out of them. Listen, 90% of the churches out there are teaching them that you don't have any power against sin. That you just walk in sin, you just have to believe God that you're going to make it, you know. You punched your ticket when you patted the preacher on the back and dipped in the water and put your dollar in the bucket, and now you're going to heaven. No, that's not what the word is. Most of the people don't even read the Word of God. Most 99% of them don't even know what faith is, for goodness sake. They think faith is believing Jesus died on the cross. Now he's sitting up on the right hand of God. He's just waiting on me to get up there and bless him. You know, that's what they're thinking. Hmm. That's why the shaking's coming. Because they're going to find out real quick that preacher lied to me. And they're going to come out and they're going to separate themselves from him.
So that shaking is happening in Barry right now.
Absolutely.
So how do I cooperate with what God's doing there in Barry? He's already shaking Barry. So
is it shaking him enough to get in the Word and believe what the Word says? That's the shaking. That's and like you said before. Some point in time, you got to say, well, wait a minute, I'm going the wrong way here. Something ain't right, you know. And when they do,
mm-hmm.
Possibly maybe I need to go look at the book. I don't know. Look at the manual, for goodness sake. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, June.
Okay. Looking at the scripture where it says faith comes by hearing the word of God. And I remember a testimony from a Muslim where someone had spoken to this man, the words where it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the Word was God. And then if you follow down to the 14th verse, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. When the first part, I don't need to think it went as far as I said, when the first part was heard by this Muslim, the Spirit of God struck him and he became a believer at that very moment. So the Lord might give you that verse to say, or it might be something else that this man needs to hear that the Lord's going to use in a mighty way.
I do. Well, yeah.
Michael?
Yes, sir.
Is it okay if I share a song?
Right now? Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
This song, the Lord gave me a while back. I can't remember exactly when, but it was a while back. And it was because of what I felt. I wanted to draw close to the Lord and I wanted to follow him. And I knew that he needed to work on my heart. And the words.
Yeah, of course. Go ahead.
Jesus, change my heart to be like you. Jesus, change my heart to follow you. I need you more and more each day. Jesus, show me all your ways. Jesus, keep me on the straight and narrow. Lord, I need you always. Jesus, change my heart to follow you. Jesus, change my heart to know you. Jesus, change my heart to follow you, to know you, to be like you, my King. Amen. Those words, it just like when I got them, I wanted, in my heart, I wanted to change. I didn't want to be like I was. I wanted to be like him. And that's where the song transpired by experience. And I knew that I had to get in his word, you know, to follow him. I needed to know his word and get in there and to be able to do what he sent me out to do. Now, this is before I even understood. I knew that we needed to deny ourselves, but the thing is, I didn't know how. I didn't know how to recognize when I was in the flesh and when I was in the spirit. That's the biggest part. That's not easy sometimes. So anyway.
Amen. That's a good song. Thank you, sir.
Uh-huh.
All right. Okay. Anybody else? Got something I'd like to add? That's why the shaking is coming and it's going to get, it's going to ramp up more and more as we go along. The pandemic, I think it's going to be an initial a part of it, but then I think natural things are going to happen too, like earthquakes and stuff like that, you know. When they can't depend, you know, I have a big problem with churches that want everybody in their church to get the vaccine when they haven't even studied to find out what it is. Find out what's inside it. That's just crazy. Yeah, Marilyn. No.
Yeah,
Mary, I'm sorry.
One thing about this mass getting the shot, it's not a vaccine. Vaccines protect you from getting the disease and they keep you from transmitting the disease. This COVID thing doesn't either. It doesn't do either of those things. Number two, this mass vaccination is really not real smart because they've determined that 80% of humanity is immune to COVID. 80% have natural immunity, and those who have gotten COVID and have recovered from it have immunity. And given that shot to people who either have natural immunity or have had COVID and got healed of it, it's very, very risky for these people. And it's unnecessary because they're naturally immune. Natural immunity is far superior to this thing that they're giving to people.
Injection.
it's at best an injection. It's really not to be taken lightly. There's some lawyers that are getting after Rite Aid and CVS, the drugstore places, for indiscriminately giving out shots because they're not scanning people to find out if they have natural immunity. And it's very, very dangerous to give that shot to people who have natural immunity. So, and they're suppressing that information about the 80% immunity. They're hiding that and pulling that out of everything where it appears, but that's truth. So it's not smart for whole churches to get that. It's bad for people. It's not good for anybody. That's it.
Well, they're doing two things with it. The people that are promoting this thing are doing two things. They're killing people. They're depopulating what they want to do. And also they're making money off the vaccine. I'm talking about the people higher up. Fauci's one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Go ahead, Isaac.
Hey, Michael. Hey, everybody. Hey, how are y'all? I just wanted to share something that I've seen at Amazon today. Being that we're just talking about it, it's nothing that I'm worried about. I'm literally not worried at all. But let me read this. This is something they've posted on the walls everywhere. And so anyways, and listen, Amazon's, I don't know if it's a Fortune 1 company. It could be. But man, you know, it is definitely in bed with the beast. It is. It really, really is. But I'll say this. If they heard me say that, well, nice knowing you, Amazon. But let me say this. This is what they have posted on all the walls and they're on every single bathroom door. Amazon is requiring all associates to complete a COVID-19 vaccine education course. It is a 10-minute course that you will be paid for. You can do it on your own time. Please log in, blah, 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 blah. Search vaccine and click on vaccine education, an informational training to complete this course by May 14th. And I think you guys are full aware it's total indoctrination. To one, put fear in the masses, and two, compel them to put their faith in man. Now, and I'm going to tell you, they just opened up maybe last week. You know, I've been working here since February. It's an air hub. Now they have part of the Amazon that I'm working at. They have free vaccination. So everybody's getting vaccinated. Everybody's getting vaccinated. Everybody's vaccinated around me. And man, you know, people are getting sick. And, you know, like my company, if this sounds negative, I don't mean it to be. Maybe more informal, because I really am not worried. So bear with me as I say this. But like the company, they're duping the people. They've promised to give us 2 days off, you know, paid days off we were to get the vaccine. And everybody's doing it. And so there's a lot of when they have to pay you to do these things, you might as well see it as blackmail. Okay. So anyways, I just wanted to share that. But also, you know, I was going to share this email I got from America's Frontline Doctors. And when I tell you, I really don't read this stuff. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. So, you know, there's lots of things I'm, you know, still working on getting the moat out of my own eye. However, I'll say this, you know, I get emails, I have to check my emails. And I just seen like basically the brief part of this. And it was talking about, how the FDA intends, just like Missy was saying about 12 to 15 year olds, the FDA, and this is, like I said, America's Frontline Doctors, a mainstream group. They've actually they're traveling the nation because a lot of them have lost their license for prescribing hydroxychloroquine. And, you know, if you know anything about it, places where malaria is a big deal, COVID's not a big deal because hydroxychloroquine is over-the-counter drug. Now, I'm not saying we put our faith in that. That's not at all what I'm saying. But I'm just making a point here. But anyways, it says that the FDA intends to expand the emergency use authorization for Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine to enroll adolescents ages 12 to 15. And basically, they say the danger is even greater for young people due to their stronger immune systems. There are now over 4,100 deaths associated with experimental COVID vaccine. And then by comparison, an experimental vaccine rollout in USA in 1976 was permanently halted after just 25 deaths. Okay. So it's just funny how this is all rolling down the pipeline. So I don't know. I wanted to share so that being, cause I'm out here, man, you know, traveling and seeing these places and just kind of want to maybe if it's informative, I hope it is. And I hope I didn't overstep my boundaries, but I wanted to share that. But then number two, I also wanted to ask for prayer for me. I've been having a really tough week this week. Been tough, man. Been tough. And I, you know, I'm just trying to figure out the words to say here. I'm thankful. I'm very thankful. It's just, you know, I've kind of, you know, I find myself sometimes maybe, I don't know, like if I get frustrated or if I sin, you know, and, you know, the Lord knows my heart. So I won't try to justify myself, but, you know, sometimes it's real hard for me to forgive myself because it's like, okay, well, I'm going to have to deal with this for a few days until I can feel like I have grace to overcome it. And I know that's not right because I do believe from my heart that we need to pick up back where we were and just claim faith and keep on going, you know, not start from the beginning, but just get back where we were and claim faith and have grace. And it's easier for me to say that to somebody than for me to do it myself, you know, and it sounds like condemnation, and I'm sure it is, but if y'all believe, I totally believe with y'all and y'all's prayers that this is just another stepping stone for God to get me over this hump. Thank you.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for placing in Isaac that overcoming power. Glory to God. And we thank you, Father, that he can cast down all the thoughts that the demon have been placing in his ear. And Lord, we praise you for that. And all he's got to do is rebuke him, Lord. I know it takes time for us to understand all of these things. You know, we're still struggling sometimes in areas, all of us are, in areas that have hindered our walk. And Lord, we just thank you for that overcoming power of the Holy Spirit and your word, Lord. We praise you for it. We thank you, Lord, that Isaac is an overcomer. He is a good overcomer, and we praise you, Father, for giving him the power to walk that walk that you want him to walk. And Lord, I ask that you fill him right now with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that Spirit that leads him into all righteousness and sanctification. We praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for getting rid of condemnation off of him, too. You go in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, for setting him free in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I praise you, Lord, for Isaac's deliverance complete and throughout his whole walk, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus.
I thank you. I really appreciate it. I received it. It's done.
Amen.
Michael, I just want to say one more thing I forgot to say. You said something Thursday about You prayed that everybody get a dream about things to come. It wasn't that night. It was that night. Sorry. But it was that night I had a dream. And I won't get into it too far. I'll just probably email it to you. But it was a dream. Me and you were in a truck. However, this truck was also a boat somehow. The floods came. And you were driving. And it seemed like you thought it was more of a theme park than everything else. There was floods. There was tornadoes. We couldn't see. Power lines were down. And it was pretty wild, man. But, you know, it looked like you're having a good old time, man.
Did we make it, Isaac? Did we make it, brother?
At the end. Put your hands up in the air.
Yeah, oh, glory to
God. Hey, I'll tell you this. At the end of the dream, where we were in a safe house where just a remnant of people were, and you were welcoming everybody. That was it.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, type that up and send it to me. I'll put it on the wall. Thank you, Isaac.
Amen.
Okay, is that you, Dominic? Go ahead, brother.
Oh, yeah, it's me. I just want to say, I think it's actually really cool, the time that we're living in now with wearing masks and the COVID vaccine and just COVID in general. I mean, it just seems like the giants are getting bigger, and I think we know what that means. It means that land of milk and honey is also getting closer. So it's actually a great thing, the things that are happening now, and it's also all part of God's plan, and he's not going to let anything pass that he doesn't want to have happen. So, I mean, obviously, I pray against the negatives, and that might affect my life and everything too. And he honors those prayers, but I just think it's actually something to praise about. It's just the fact that we're actually, you know, we're living in amazing times in that sense that God's really moving his people. You know, I think the fact that a lot of churches were shut down for a while made people get a more intimate relationship with God and seek out their own, you know, salvation with fear and trembling. And it really does help that, you know, I think even though we should not forsake fellowship, sometimes God has to remove us away from each other so we can find a better relationship with him. I think that's really what's happening now. God's really calling his people forth, you know, and this is kind of one way that he spits the lukewarm out of his mouth, is we really are seeing people's fruit now, you know, and if they're more afraid or if they just have that love of God that they're just going to continue following after their faith and, you know, believing in his grace. So I just think that's really cool, how, you know, even though it seems really bad, it's actually all for good. And that's for any situation, obviously, but it's just interesting to see the bright side of it sometimes when things seem to get so dark and it's all we ever see is the bad stuff, when in reality, all of it's actually a blessing in disguise. That's all I really wanted to say.
That's good insight, Dominic. I agree with you. Thank you, Lord. Okay, go ahead, Anna.
Okay, thanks. I want some prayer of agreement. Sorry, I don't know what you guys are talking about. I was laying the boys down, but I want some prayer of agreement. We got a neighbor boy. He's 7. His name is Caden. And I just don't think he's really a good influence for Obadiah. He comes over to play, and he came over today. And I just want some wisdom on what to do. And I bind up the spirits before he comes over and pray for the boys afterward. And it's not really that he's a bad kid, but he's got only child syndrome bad. And he just, you know, he thinks about himself and he doesn't understand that Obi's 3 years younger and just doesn't understand a lot. And he always wants to do older things, you know, throw a baseball around. And it's just kind of difficult, some situations. And I've actually, today, I kind of very gently called him on the carpet over a couple things. And I haven't even met his mom yet. So I just want you guys to agree with me anyways. Lord, okay. I just lift up the situation, Father, Lord, and I just bless Caden and I bless his family, Lord. And I just ask that you would give me wisdom what to do, Lord. I don't want to tell him, don't come over here, Lord, but I ask that you would just give me wisdom, Lord, how to handle each situation as it comes up. And I just forbid those demons or any spirits on him to come into this house or onto my boys. And I just forbid anything he would say that's not age appropriate or appropriate at all. And I just thank you, Lord, that, Lord, I just want to be a witness to his mom and to him, even maybe, Lord, I just want to have an opportunity to witness. But Lord, I just ask for wisdom, Father, on what to do and how to handle it, Lord. And I don't want to give any spirit of rejection to this kid, Lord, and correcting him, Lord, but I just ask that you give an open heart to receive correction and to reconsider, hey, wait a second, maybe what I did there wasn't right, or maybe what I said wasn't right. And Lord, I just ask that you give him an understanding heart. He's just such an only child. He doesn't understand that Obi's 3 years younger, and Obi just can't keep up with him. His train of thought, Lord, he's just so fast. And Lord, if it's your will for him to be here, Lord, then just help me to handle it. And if it's not your will, Lord, then I just ask that he would not enjoy playing with Obi anymore because of the age gap. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just believe with Anna that this is done, and that the boy, if he does come over and you want him over there, Lord, that he will learn from Anna and her wisdom that you're giving her right now in the name of Jesus and how to deal with this young man. And we praise you for it, Father, that you're going to change this little boy's heart in Jesus' name. And just like she said, if it's not in your will, Lord, just keep him from coming over. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I believe it. Thank you, Father. Okay. Anyone else? Everybody believe me about Obadiah and this young man, this young boy? Did y'all believe that? I believe it. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Woo, woo,
woo. Amen.
Michael?
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to pray about the COVID thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Lord, I just pray, Father God, for all my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus all over the world, that this COVID shot thing, that the enemy, I come against the enemy. I come against all those demons that are using, trying to use their power against our brothers and sisters. I break your power over them in the name of Jesus. I break that power of rejection. I break that power of pressure, deception, lying and deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons, any of those things, any demons that are trying to, condemnation, guilt, Lord, any of those things that are trying to make your people take shots when they shouldn't take shots. Lord, just help your people to have eyes to see, ears to hear. Help them to see the things in the spirit that you would be able to speak to them and show them that what they're doing, even if they're being drawn or pressured into taking a shot at the places that they work, Lord. Just help them to be strong in you and the power of your might, be able to stand up against the enemy and put Satan under their feet. And I pray that we would all put Satan under their feet, that we'd help, that you would send angels to minister to them, to show them the way that they need to go so they don't get deceived, Lord God. You don't want any of your people to be deceived. So Lord, just work on the hearts of each and every one that are put in this place of pressure at their jobs, even the children, even the parents, that they would hear from you and be obedient to you and submit to you. And just, Lord, just put a hedge of protection around all of our brothers and sisters and their children in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay, yeah, Jane.
Okay. This is back to Pat again regarding Barry. One song that is so powerful that might really register in his spirit deeply, I had just heard for the first time during resurrection time, and it's a duet by Cassandra Starr and her sister Callahan, and it's called An Easter Hallelujah. It's awesome. The music is awesome. The verses are awesome. And I just thought you can listen to it and you might be wanting or led to share it with him.
The remake of the Hallelujah song.
Is that a YouTube?
Yes, it was. Let's see. Gee, I wonder if we could get it to him somehow.
Can you paste the link in the chat?
Yeah, I'll try to do that while we're working at it. Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Okay. All right, anyone else? Well, okay, we were going to talk about the light tonight. Pat, you want to explain what your question was?
Well,
I hope I didn't put you on the spot.
Well, no, it's just that I've been thinking about it. Lord has kind of had me on that thing, and I forgot what the question was. I believe when I first brought it up, I think the Lord, when I woke up one morning, the Lord had the thought on my mind that his word is frequency, has to do with frequency. And I've been going down that vein for a while. for the last 2 or 3 weeks, actually. So let me just kind of capsulize, you know, the kind of overview the thought that the Lord was giving me, and that is that his word is light, and light is frequency. Does everybody know? I'm taking this the definition of frequency more from the electronics realm, in that I'm not quite sure how to explain it, but frequency. Let me back up. If I were to take my guitar string and strum the E string on my guitar, it would vibrate at 82 times per second. In other words, that string would go up and down 82 times per second. And that vibration would in my guitar would create a sound, which would be the sound of an E string, the tone of the E string. And what is happening when that string is vibrating, and it's creating an air pressure change in the air through the hole in my guitar. And that air pressure change, like, is going through the air, just like if you threw a stone in a pond, a calm water pond, and it hit the metal and it sent ripples out. And those ripples are like little waves. And those, if I strummed my E string on my guitar, it sends little waves of air pressure through the air. That air pressure comes into my ear, and God has created my ear to be able to sense those air pressure changes. And when it senses that air pressure change, my ear sends electronic signals to my brain, and my brain sends an image to my mind that says, that sounds like that E tone. So that not only happens through my ears, but it also happens through my eyes. My ears can sense a frequency from 20 hertz to 20,000. 20 cycles per second to 20,000 cycles per second. But my eyes have the ability to see light, which is 400 trillion cycles per second. So I don't want everybody's eyes to glaze over here, but the concept is that we have receivers in our body that God has created that can sense frequency. Our ears can sense audio frequency. Our eyes can sense light frequency. And there are frequencies all through, higher and lower, that we don't have the ability to perceive. An example would be dogs have the ability to hear and receive frequencies above our audio range, 40,000 cycles per second. We can't hear that, but dogs can hear it. The point being that just because we can't hear it or we don't have the equipment to receive it, doesn't mean it's not there. It just means that we don't have the ability to receive it. So when, so the, what I'm trying to transition over into is that God, scripture says, I think in First John 1:5, I think, God is light. And he says, my word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. So there is an aspect of God in how he communicates to us that is above the wavelength of our visual, of seeing or hearing, but it's somewhere in a spectrum that you can only hear if you have the proper receiver. And that receiver is being born from above, receiving a born again spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit to help us discern, decipher, and hear God, understand, see God's word. When Jesus said, in many places where he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has eyes to see, let him see. He wasn't talking about hearing audibly, hearing somebody talk. He was talking about hearing spiritually, with a different seeing, a different hearing, a different than what we're talking about with the normal receivers, with a spiritual receiver. And not to go back to a previous situation here, but was talking about Barry not being able, because I believe that being able to see and hear God's word, there has to be a receiver there. And I think through repentance and harmonizing or becoming one with God's word, whether it is positive or negative, when I say negative, it may mean that you have to agree with his word, agree or harmonize with his word in agreeing about your sin and admitting the sin in my life or whatever it would be. And he says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that agreement allows us to harmonize with God's word and receive the benefit of that. So I may be kind of rambling here at this point, but I guess the concept is that that God communicates on a different, and it is a different wavelength. It's a different frequency, and only through his grace and his spirit within us can we perceive what that, I guess, what that is. So I'm just going to let that go at that and throw it out there. That's kind of what I've been functioning in here in the last few days.
Okay. All right, anybody else on the light? Go ahead, Dominique.
Sorry about that. Okay, so I definitely see where you're coming from. And I can agree to it to an extent. I don't necessarily know if that it has to do with frequencies or anything like that, but I do know that, like, when I think of God, I think of him as above everything that I can comprehend. Like, if he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, meaning that he sees time above, you know, already finished. That's why Jesus said it is finished. So the way that I see things like that, I believe that he created everything around us in order to fulfill everything that he wanted. So light itself would be included in that. And I don't really know how to explain what I'm trying to get at. All I know is that everything around us is made to worship the Lord. That's why Jesus said, if, you know, they do not worship me, the rocks will cry out, you know? I just see it more as like, I don't really know how to put it into words. One thing that I think is interesting is Psalm 94, 9 and 10. I just read this yesterday actually. And it says, he that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? Sorry, it was just Psalm 94, 9, not 9, 10. But like, he's above our perception, but he's graceful enough to let us understand. And when I think of his light, I think of more of a spiritual light that illuminates the darkness that was in ourselves originally, now being illuminated and burned away. So I guess that's just kind of my opinion on it. I don't really have too much scripture to back it up. And maybe I'm misunderstanding what you're getting at, but that's just kind of how I see it, is that it's a different kind of light than what we're thinking of. And I think even David says that light is literally made up out of everything. Like, everything's made out of light. And that's true, like a molecular scale and everything. So, and I also like to think that, you know, I once saw this one video of this guy who made, mixed a bunch of sounds like whale noises and the stars, and noises that stars make, and made it into a worship song. And I just found that interesting too. It's just that everything that God created was meant to point towards him, kind of like how, if you saw a painting by Vincent van Gogh, you'll know that it's a Vincent van Gogh painting by his style. And everything points towards Vincent van Gogh. Well, I just think God's kind of the same way. And light itself also points towards him. But that's just how I see it. I don't know.
Amen. That's good, Dominic. Thank you. Go ahead, Jean. Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Mariana. Go ahead, Julie. I'm just catching everybody that's waving.
I think Dave has his hand up. Oh, I have some verses to share, but I'll let Dave go.
Thank you. I didn't see that, Dave. I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother.
Depends if I can go, but it'll be a little bit because I'm going to go through some verses and some stuff David taught through a couple of his books that gives on light. And I'm doing this just because I wanted to know more about what light was talking about when God talked about it, especially through for us. I wanted to know what he was saying. So I had to go, I went through some verses and I went to some of the books David had and have him expound on it. So we have in Genesis, he says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. And the earth was waste and void, and darkness was on the face of the earth, the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light, and that it was good. God divided the light from darkness, and God called the light day and darkness night. And there was evening, and there was morning, and that was the first day. So we have a beginning there of, and God's working with creation, and he in the beyond creating in the heavens and the earth, he creates light and he separates light from darkness. So we kind of have a beginning there of light and darkness that we can visually understand and see. So that's kind of like a letter beginning. That's a letter beginning, you know, of the word. So we see the Old Testament, the letter beginning, we get a big idea what that's all about, the letter. But then we go to John 1:1 and it says, John says, in the beginning was the word. And word was with God, and word was God. The same was in the beginning, was with God. So we now we have another beginning. We have a beginning in John. We have a beginning in Genesis. But this beginning is different. It's spiritual. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was not made. So we have God with Jesus. We see him in creation, making things. But then it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now we're transforming from a letter to a spiritual understanding of light, of what this light is. And this light of men, that is life. So we went from Genesis to actual physical light and darkness, and everything's physically being made, to now here we got the Word in the beginning, and Jesus is in during this process of creation, and he's also life and light of men. He's explaining more the spiritual side of life with men, that life of men. So we're getting a spiritual understanding now of what God is, what his intent was in John. And that light shines in the darkness. The darkness apprehended it not. Darkness did not grab it. It could not only understand it, it didn't get hold of it. Darkness could not grab hold of that. He goes on farther in John 3:19. And this is the judgment, that light came into the world and men love darkness. That we got that darkness. It's referencing men in darkness rather than light, for their works were evil. So no works of darkness are evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light and comes not to light or the light, lest his works should be reproved. So you know, people that are evil or want to hold on to evil things or do not want to come to the light are going to hold on to darkness in their life. They're not going to let go of it. They're drawn to that darkness. They won't come to the light. They won't let their works be shown, and they're going to be, they don't want to be reproved for their works. That's what the light does. It makes you repent and turn to God and change. And he goes on to say, but he that does the truth comes to the light, that his works may be manifest. We're going to look at that word manifest, that they have been wrought in God. Manifest actually has a couple places that are interesting in what it says. Manifest is Strong's Greek word, 5318. It means phaneru. And phaneru has its reference to Greek word phaneros, is Greek 5316, which means shining externally outward. It's a shining that's coming out. This manifest shining is coming out of man. And that's what this truth does, the light of truth does inside of you. It manifests itself inside of you. And now this light, this truth, starts to shine out. And we're going to find out what this manifestation is, shining is. Jesus says, I am, in 12:46, says, I am the light to the world, that whoever believes on me may not abide in darkness. So Jesus is this light. I found this in David's book, Jesus Will Shepherd His Flock, chapter 1. Saints, I have some good news for you. Jesus is going to be our shepherd in the days to come. He is going to be with us and guide us through the wilderness. You see, the Bible teaches that Jesus is coming in us before he comes for us. That's the epiphania before the epiphany, before the parousia or physical return. The Bible doesn't teach that God is going to take a filthy church out of this world. It teaches that he's coming for a spotless, blemishless bride, Ephesians 5:25. Even as Christ also loved the world and gave himself up for it, this is 26, that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present the church to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. That means holy without blemish by manifestation. We talked about manifestation, that light shining forth, coming forth from us. That's through the word of God. That's through Jesus. Not just by position only or by faith. The Lord is coming in his people. The word epiphania means to shine forth from. And it's used from the scriptures quite often about the coming of the Lord. But it's not talking about the coming of the Lord in the air. It's talking about the coming of the Lord and his people. It's shining forth from his people. This is this light. Allow me to lay a foundation here. He goes on, as David says, so I can share something with you about how the Lord is going to bring his people through this wilderness to come. Here is one of my favorite verses, 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all know this one. But we all with an unveiled face, beholding in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed in that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. We behold the Lord in a mirror until we come into that same image from glory to glory. That glory is Jesus Christ, and that's the gospel in a nutshell. The gospel is that we don't live anymore. Christ lives in us, and we confess it by faith until it comes to pass. We have to confess this by faith. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I live, but Christ living in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. We believe that we are buried with Christ, and it's not we who live, it's Christ who lives in us. We are told in 2 Corinthians 4:6, seeing it is God that said, light shall shine out of darkness, who shined in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This light of the glory of God is going to shine out of the darkness of our hearts. We're also told always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of also Jesus may be manifested in our body. The word translated as manifested there is a Greek word phaneru, and it comes from phaneros, which means a shining or a cause to shine. In other words, that the life of Jesus may be caused to shine in our body. We who live are always delivered under death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested, that is the cause to shine or made visible to come forth out of us in our mortal flesh. Much of the church teaches that you have to wait to go to heaven to have that, but the Lord wants you to have it here. That's his plan, is for the life of Christ to be manifested in your mortal flesh. That's the body you have right now, folks. So don't believe that those liars, because if you believe them, you won't be bearing fruit during all the time you are given to be doing that. Colossians 3:4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, again, that's causing to shine and made visible, then shall you also be manifested in glory. That glory, it's a shining. The glory of Christ is shining forth out of you. What shines out of Christians? The glory of God shining out of a Christian. What is the glory of God? It is righteousness and holiness. It's his truth. It's Jesus Christ in you. God wants to be manifested in his people because he comes for his people. 2 Thessalonians 1:10 says, when he shall come to be glorified in the saints and be marveled at all them that believed, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. God is going to give grace to his people who believe the promise of the word of God. We are going to believe that we don't live anymore and that instead Christ lives in us. Galatians 2:20. We are going to look in the mirror and accept that we see Jesus by faith. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We are going to be able to do that because Jesus gave us his life. He made that reconciliation. And we know what that reconciliation is. That exchange was made at the cross. His life for us, right? Colossians 1:21 says, and you being in time past alienated by the enemies in your mind and your evil works, the darkness, yet now has he made reconciled in his body and his flesh through death, present you holy, without blemish, unreprovable before him. If so be you continue in the faith, you have to continue in his faith, grounded and steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached in all the creation in heaven, which I, Paul, was a minister, Romans 5:10. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. That reconciliation was done freely for us, right? We just have to believe it and accept it. Much more being reconciled, we being saved by his life. And not only so, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the reconciliation, that exchange. He made an exchange for our life, for our life, and now we don't live anymore. He lives in us. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and marveled at in them that believe, because our testimony is believed in that day. Those people are believing in the gospel. Our day are beginning to manifest Christ now. Our day. We're manifesting that Christ today. We're manifesting it daily. They will be the first fruits of Christ in 1 Colossians 27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I can go on more, but if I want to let other people speak, I can. But I got a few other things I could share that David said. It talks about the light. It talks about going into Peter. We got 2 Peter 1 and 5. It goes through the attributes of Christ, the seven attributes of Christ, which is the light of Christ. You know, we get that in us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, patience. You know, but, we have this love for each other, the brotherly love for each other. That's a beautiful thing. And right, and Angela said, she talked about the rainbow, the light. The colors of the light are a rainbow. But it's also seven colors. That number seven comes up. The attributes of Christ are seven. The attributes of light is seven colors. And that's what we're doing. We're manifesting Christ. It's a representation of who Christ is. So just wanted to bring that out.
Yeah, Pat.
So, Dave, I have a question then. How do you see a person makes it into that light? I mean, obviously, there's repentance, but how do you... I mean, I hate to say it, but I'm going back to Barry here. How does he lock onto that light? What makes the transition there?
Well, first, you have to be willing and wanting to be in the bride. That's the only way you're going to lock on the light. If you're not running after Jesus with your heart, you're not going to be in the bride. You're not going to have that bright shining light. That's the clue. You're either running after him with your whole heart. You're either like that Shulamite woman in the Songs of Solomon. That's all she cares about. You'll have that light if you run after the Lord. You will get it. You will not. He will not forsake that. But if you're not doing that, how can you expect to be in the bride? This light we're talking about is the light of Christ. And there is 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. We're talking about 100-fold here. We're running after 100-fold light. Now, if you want to settle for 60, you can settle for 60. If you want to settle for 30, you can settle for 30. It's all up to you. That's not me. I can't help you with anybody decides to do that. That's their own intent. That's their own heart. I just know the Shulamite, the bride, is going to run after Christ and want that bright light. They're going to want that lampros brightness, that brilliant light. Everybody else that doesn't want that, it's not going to happen. You have to either run after it yourself and get it, or you don't get it. You have to run that race. Everybody's on their own running that race. That's my answer to that.
David puts it nicely in Perfection Through Christ. He says, 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, what's the light? The light is the word that we have. James 4:17, to him therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If a person is walking in the light that they have, they can't do any better than that. God is not attributing wrong to a person until they know. But here's the kicker, Hebrews 10:26. But if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. And David said, we see here that knowledge is what makes us responsible. But without knowledge, we can't bear fruit. So we're in a catch-22. We can't hide ourselves from knowledge to keep from being responsible, because if we do, we won't bear fruit. The word is the light. Then the next step is walking in light. He says, 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, who's in the light? Jesus. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Then he goes on and on and on. But that's it in a nutshell, just in a small way of putting it. You have to run after the Lord, just like Dave was saying. Yeah, Sue.
I was thinking of, I think that's why the Lord had me share that song, because I started out to say, Jesus, change my heart. The heart, we have to have that desire to want our heart to be changed. And only he can help us. He opens our eyes. He opens our ears to hear. He's the one that causes us to want to repent. We can't in ourselves. I mean, I think about in ourselves, if we didn't have Christ, we wouldn't go to him. Unless he draws us. Even in Song of Solomon, it says, draw me and we will run after thee. There has to be, we want him. We want what his word says. We want to do what he wants, not something that we can conjure up. It has to be him wanting, causing us. Those, it's like these trials and tribulations that we go through. I feel like he's causing us to draw close to him, so that we can change, but he has to do the drawing. He has to do the work in us. We can't do it ourselves. But whatever he brings across our path is opens our heart to want to know what's going on, want to know. And that's where the key is. But he works on our hearts to do that. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm seeing anyway. It starts in the heart.
Okay, Isaac.
Well, you know, I was, before y'all were talking about light, y'all brought it up. I was reading Revelations, and I just started reading Revelations, but I felt like the Lord really put my heart to, because believe it or not, I had a dream some time ago where God actually told me in the form of David what scriptures to be reading, and that's what I started reading, because he told me to read those. Anyways, so, and this just talks a little bit about the light. Probably won't go in great detail. I just have a little bit, but it said, and this is Revelations 26, and he that overcometh, and he that keepeth my works, and let me read that again. And he that overcometh, and he that keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give authority over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as vessels of the potter are broken to shivers, as I also have received in my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And I was just thinking, and this might be so obvious to you guys, but I was like, morning star? But what is a morning star? You know, I was thinking about it for a while. And I was just thinking, and sometimes I just don't get these things, so I have to honestly say, I can't do it, Father, and I'll pray to him and say, just show me. Anyways, the morning star, actually in Revelation 22:16, Jesus says he is the morning star. And our morning star, you know, you think about it, it's the sun, the S-O-N. And I was thinking, David said something. So Dave Nelson just said something about the 160 and 30-fold. And I was like, yeah, you know what? That's right, because 1 Corinthians 15:41 talks about star glory, moon glory, and sun glory, you know, and they all give off a portion of light, and sun glory being a hundredfold manifestation. And so I really think that's what Jesus is saying, because we both know, like John chapter 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Jesus and the Father are one, because you know he prayed that we'd be one as they are one. So they are the Word. And I really think that the morning star is a hundredfold manifestation of Christ, you know, that Word in us. And, you know, as I was researching this, you know, I come across something interesting, something I didn't find, but something through my research that I read. And I was like, you know, that's a good point. You know, Satan's quite the imitator, really is quite the imitator. Who comes in as the angel of light? Satan. Okay. In Isaiah 14:12, who is the morning star that falleth? Satan. Who's the line of Judah? Jesus. Who's the roaring lion? Satan. You know, and there's so many parallels there. He's the impersonator. You look at the churches and you go out there, because I've been there and I was duped, and it wasn't for God's grace. And being that I'm talking right now, Pat, I'll just say this. You got great faith, man, for your little sink and all that awesome stuff. Just pray for Barry for grace, because, you know, we've all received it. And I'll believe that with you, man, because it seems like you got great love for him. And that's a gift in itself. Anyways, I'll say this. You know, Satan really is the impersonator, and the churches are teaching a false Jesus, you know, a Jesus that's okay with lasciviousness. And I hate to be so bold about that, but just think about it. Just think about the impersonations there, that he is the accuser and the impersonator. And I just want to share that. Oh, and I'm going to share this real quick too. And that's 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And if you look at the word light there in the Greek, it's, I'm probably pronouncing this wrong, phos, you know, P-H-O-S. And the definition is this, to shine or make manifest, especially by his rays. And what's cool, if you actually look, it says darkness into his marvelous light, into, and just the word into is ease, indicating the point reached or entered. Then that goes back, because I will give him the morning star. God was the Word. Jesus is the Word. And if we're going to be like him, the Word's going to be in us, and we're going to be manifesting the Word. So I don't know, just want to point that out there. Pretty awesome stuff. And when you guys talk about these things, it always increases my understanding. I'm really thankful for y'all.
Okay. Thank you, Isaac. That was good. Andrew, go ahead.
Well, I heard oneness mentioned there out of chapter 17 of John, but that's kind of a prayer of Jesus. And I like to bring up John 17:24. You should believe what Jesus is praying to the Father. And he's saying there, Father, what thou hast given me, I desire that where I am, they also be with me, that they may behold my glory, there's the light, which thou hast given me, because thou lovest me before the world's foundation. We mentioned that when Dave started out, he mentioned where God separated the light from the darkness in Genesis. So there's that glory that was there. You know, I believe that on the, perhaps on the right side was Jesus there. And of course, the darkness that he was separating there was going to be where the dark side would be, because he already knew that there was going to be a darkness. And of course, there's no communion. Light, what communion hath light with darkness? And so that's immediately, you have to understand that there's going to be the dark side, which is of course the evil. It's Satan. It's the left hand, and then there's the right hand of God, and you're supposed to be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that's what he's talking about in the verse I just read here in John. You really have to believe when the Lord's praying to his Father, that one's going to be answered. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Amen. Go ahead, Dominic.
So the Lord brought to attention one day, Micah. I was going to say this last time, but it slipped my mind. You know, fire creates light. And, you know, John the Baptist said in Matthew 3:11, he said, I indeed baptize you in water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. And one thing that's interesting about at least UV light is UV light can actually be used to take away stain. It's not very effective at it, but under the certain circumstances, it can be used to take away stains, which reminds me of in Isaiah 1:18. One second, you know, I just got to pull it up. It says, you know, come now and let us reason together, saith Jehovah. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And it's just interesting how, you know, it shows that the light is cleaning the stains there. And I think it, you know, I recall when I received the Holy Spirit, it felt like I was being burned up, but not in a painful way. I just felt as though my sins were being lit on fire and it was just falling away from me. You know, and I think it's interesting how light in, you know, just the normal world can also be used to clean stains. It's almost as if what the Bible is trying to say also translate into how God's creation works. That's all I had to say.
Okay. Talking about light, y'all remember when the Lord said, let there be light, he didn't tell it to stop either, did he? It's still going on. Still expanding. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
You know, it's interesting that everybody is in agreement with what we're talking about, light, but we have different perspectives. I kind of realized that when Dominic, when he first was talking about what I had said, he can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he was thinking that he was thinking something different than what I had proposed or threw out there. But in fact, it was actually the exact same thing that I was at least trying to say, but it was in complete unity with what I was saying. And so a lot, I think we're kind of all coming from a different perspective, but we're all in agreement with what the light is. That was just a little comment there. I thought it was kind of interesting how God puts the body together and provides a input from all sections. It's really cool. So.
Could I add something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Regarding this, we also see that, you know, Jesus says the Father is spirit and whoever will worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, right? So the Father is spirit. So the Holy Spirit is also the Father himself. And
come from the Father, yes.
Yeah, so if you would consider the equivalent of a physical property in the spirit, so God would be the Holy Spirit would be a physical light. It's a physical characteristic of that being.
Not really, it's a spiritual.
Yeah, I know. I understand. So if you look as, you know, in the spirit world, everything would be spirit. So that spirit's physical property is light. So he, whatever he is, his property, he is truth in our dimension. And he, so he is also that light in our dimension. Mm-hmm. So that would explain all that we call light. That would be, you know, the condensed version of all that we have said so far.
I'm having a hard time following you.
So, Sunil, I agree with what you're saying. I think the thing that I was when I originally started out is that the light of God through the Word is a light that may not be perceived, like flipping on the light, may not be perceived with our eyes that we see, but will be perceived with the eyes of our spirit, and may or may not be visible to this realm, this, you know, our physical, and mostly I believe is not. But with a new receiver of the Holy Spirit within us, we have the ability now to see that light. So I guess I agree with what you're saying. I think we're saying the same thing, quite frankly, but anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, if we see the Revelation part of it in Revelation 22, he says, in the new heavens and the new earth, there was no sea, and the Father was there was no Son, and the Father dwells in with the Son, and he is his light is like seven times the light of the Son. So his presence is there in that dimension as the light.
Okay. Well, it's been another good night. Praise the Lord. Yes, he is. He's omnipresent. And the more of God that you get in you, the lighter you go get. The more of God that you have, the more mature you become, the lighter you become. How many of you know that people see light around you at times, you know, as a child of God? And I believe in the days ahead, you're going to see that light come more prominent with God's bride and people like that. It's going to be quite evident. That's where the signs and the wonders, I believe, are going to manifest a lot. All right, anybody else before we close out here? We're only out of time. Anything y'all want to talk about? What is this, Thursday night, while we got everybody here?
I would just say real quick, we know that the light, this promise is that we too can be in this light, walk in that glorious light, become as God is.
Absolutely.
That's the hope that we see it. It's like, you know, we get to be part of that whole glory.
And what we have to bear in mind, generally speaking, is that you most of Christians and Christendom don't want to go any further than they are, you know. One out of four, remember? One out of four.
They're afraid to come into the light.
Yeah. Amen. Well, Lord, we just thank you for another good night of revelations coming forth about your light, about you, and about Jesus, and about the perpetual light of the Holy Spirit that he works in us and brings us into that realm of understanding about the light. Lord, we just thank you that everybody tonight is in the light. running after you with all their heart, Lord. I ask, Father, that tonight everybody gets a good night's sleep. And not only that, Lord, that they wake up with a supernatural energy in the morning. Yes, Lord. And they're going to jump up out of that bed and say, hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise God, I'm healed, delivered, and set free. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for all of us. Praise the Lord. And Lord, we thank you again for answering all of our prayers tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen.